And we're in the last portion of chapter 2. So turn on over there. So tonight we're going to tonight we're going to pretend that it's summer, and we're going to do a format similar to our summer series because I got tagged to do the invitation tonight, and it seemed kind of odd to me to do the lesson, sit down, do the lesson, sit down. So we'll be talking about chapter 2 here, and then we'll just ring the kids in, and we'll finish up with a couple of other thoughts, and then we'll have our invitation song, our closing song and prayer and announcements like usual there at the end. So a little bit different for tonight, but I think it'll work just fine. So before we get into talking about the end of chapter 2, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the blessings You give to us. We are truly thankful for Your Word, that we have this time to gather and study it. We're so thankful for Your Son who delivered this Word to us. We're just thankful for His death and His resurrection and that He sits at Your right hand. We're just so thankful for all things. Bless us in our studies. In Jesus we pray. Amen. So in the end here of chapter 2, the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the incarnation. We talked about how important it is, and we talked about various topics regarding the different components and why it's so important to us. And you know, specifically in Hebrews, it's so important because Jesus as a man can then sympathize with everything that we go through. He was tempted in all things. We are tempted in all things. He resisted temptation of all things and had the victory. And, you know, we can resist too. That's our mission. But he was able to do it perfectly. And we cannot, and thereby that's where grace comes in, and we've talked about that before. But we talked about in verses 5 through 9 how superior Jesus is, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, sitting at the right hand of God. He is ruling over the kingdom. We talked about how vital all of that is and how the writer here uses this and talks about this and points out how superior Christ is, specifically to the Jewish system, if you will, to the Jewish faith, to Judaism, to all of its tenets, etc., etc. And he brings out those points often, you know, throughout those verses. And then we talk about him as an heir, and that we are heirs of salvation, and that you know, Jesus, you know, he's superior to everything, and we are common heirs of salvation. Tonight we want to talk about the destruction of Satan, which is really pretty intriguing when you think about it. So we're going to pick up in verse 14. So let's read 14 through the end of the chapter. Inasmuch, then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Okay, so there's a lot of, I got to remember what I put in here. All right. So, Christ came to help. It's an easy way to kind of phrase that. But before we talk about his help, let's talk about 14 and 15. So I thought I broke that down more, but I didn't. So let's talk about verse 14 for a second. Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. So there's a lot of in so much and him and them and those and them and whoever and them ever and whomever and who and what is he talking about here in verse 14? I mean, he gives us the answer about one piece of it right at the end, right? Right. So one of the people that we're talking about here, one of the beings we're talking about here, we're given the answer here at the end. It's the devil. Jerry? So if we look at this verse, verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, who is that? That's us, right, mankind, that's us. We're the children, we have partaken of flesh, we're mortal, we're here. I cut my finger, I bleed, I'm flesh and blood. That's who I am, that's who we are. But then he says, he himself likewise shared in the same. Who's the he? Okay, so it's Jesus. So now, what is he saying here? Right. But specifically right here, he's saying, right, so hold that thought for a second, because precisely. That's exactly what he's saying, isn't it? That we're here, we're flesh and blood. Jesus came, the he is talking about Jesus, and he partook of the same what? The same flesh and blood. Okay? I think Ben's right. If you think about it, if God were to come here as God, of course, if I looked on him, I would die. But let's say that didn't happen. God came and he's here as God, not in the flesh, as a spiritual being. However you can try to picture that in your head. Can I relate to that? I have no frame of reference whatsoever. I cannot relate to the creator of the universe one-on-one. I cannot do that. It's not a part of how my head's going to work. Right. So he comes and he becomes flesh and blood. And that part dies. Yes. Oh, yeah. Right. Right. And that's all part and parcel to him becoming flesh and blood. Okay? But now he goes on. And he says, okay, so, you know, that's really cool. I can relate to my Savior as a flesh and blood human who has gone through everything I'm going through, and he lived and he died, and I live and I'm going to die. You know, I can relate to that. I can understand that to a certain degree. But what else does he say here? Why? Why did Jesus do that? Why did the Son do that? Okay, and how? Because he says here in verse 14, that through what? Through death, he might what? Right. What's the whole point of this? I mean, here the writer is making a very specific point, isn't he? Jesus became flesh and blood, okay? We know there's one point, which is to save us, and we'll talk about that. But there's another main point the writer's getting at here. Jesus came as flesh and blood. Why? To destroy Satan so we wouldn't have... And then, well, let's talk about that other piece. Right, to fear death. To destroy Satan. He came here to do that. That was his mission. Okay. Yes, he came to save us. We'll talk about that. But also part of his mission was to overthrow Satan. Okay? To destroy the devil. That was his... That was one of the big neon flashing points. Jesus came to take him down. And he did. Yeah. Everything. His trials, his crucifixion, everything, all those parts. He can relate to us because he did that for us, and we can relate to